So as you might have noticed, uploaded there is the picture that we've taken a couple of days ago. And if you force update your page, you'll see that there's already a initial advertisement for the next HEPICS meeting at hosted by KK in Japan. So this is sort of the summary of this meeting, and I want to go quickly through it. As you can see, we had 125 registered participants. Overwhelming majority came from Europe, and I noticed with a little bit of disappointment that, in fact, this time Asia actually outnumbered North America. It's probably the first time in that I can remember, but that's how it is. We have over 35 organizations represented here. There were 66 contributor presentations. And you know when Livy was here, you know there's always something special. There was this special network security workshop and a call to coordinate responses to security incidents among the different sites. Some more statistics. As far as... we had a very well-distributed list of presentations, as usual, a lot of site reports, but very well-distributed presentations, except for the end-user services, where we just had a couple presentations. Some newcomers and some not recently seen participants, and you see there the list. As far as... give you a short summary of some of the presentations made. So I did not write everything that I have witnessed here during the week, but some of the highlights from what I've seen. So some of the bigger trends are the migration away from AFS. We're seeing this as already replacement options occurring in many, many sites. CERN box, there was also the BNL box, IHAP box, solutions provided via EOS and CVMFS. Constructions of new facilities and activities. You just heard a talk from Lau here. There is also DAISY, Bologna at a BNL, and also RAL. A trend to absorb smaller data centers and consolidate for more efficient operations. And as well, branching out to newer domains such as weather forecasting, atmospheric research, photon sciences, biology, and so forth. Also increasing adoption and prevalence of CentOS at many sites, Ceph as well as a way to provide some distributed storage, migration to Grafana with respect to monitoring. And I noticed here some of the information not only from RAL but also from the presentation Michelle just made about their new data center where they're talking about getting PUE reduced to around 1.3. So this is an encouraging trend in seeing how new data centers are being built with increasingly energy efficiency built into it. So we have a continuing presence by non-traditional fields. And then we have ALF here representing medical research, ALBA, and we also have other areas that are available for people with for synergy interactions with the existing traditional fields represented at HEPICS. We're also seeing as a result of a lot of action, part of that coordinated through HEPICS, about increasing adoption of IPv6, dual stacking in many sites. I noticed that as well, that this is something that we've seen presented here numerous times. There is the start of Bell 2, KK, in early 2018, so that's one of the highlights as well. There will be heavy load for their computing facility and their staff, and there's an expected growth in usage of their computing resources over previous year. Some other highlights here about some of the Asian sites, the Tokyo Atlas Tier 2 and a HEPAP migration to HD Condor. So it's a steady trend among many HEP sites from LSF, BDSF, and all the other sites moving to HD Condor. KISTI also made a presentation here. They have returned after a three-year absence to HEPICS, and very happy to see them over here. And then finally, I'd like to highlight the very last item there about, I've noticed that there are actually several open positions at various sites, and people, sites looking for people to come and work at their sites. So help us advertise them to bring needed effort to many of the undermanned activities. As I said, there were only two presentations in the end-user IT services. There was a CERN presentation on CentOS 7, the effort to build an infrastructure for testing QA and release. And then Michelle made a presentation on Software and Computing Journal, an opportunity for the HEPICS community to publish selected contributions and share expertise with other fields. And this will avoid duplication of effort, reinventing the wheel. Security and networking, there is a, as I mentioned earlier, a gradual increase in availability of dual stack, IPv6 dual stack among many sites. And you've seen also the a special presentation by Livio on current security compromises at computing sites and how the response to these compromises show a lack of coordination, policy, coherence, and trust, forensic protocols among different sites. And then he remarked that email is still a favorite tool for hackers. Sean reported on the WLCG network throughput working group. Some of the activities are listed there. We also had a presentation from ESNet, and it discussed with providing connectivity for DOE science, their mission, and then ESNet 6, which is the next project, covers the next 5 years from 2020 to 2025. There was a mention of possibly up to 2030. Some of these new developments in computing technologies and make estimating networking the needs fairly challenging. And so there was a call for closer coordination between ESNet and the LHC community to improve the efficiency of their upgrades, deployment, procurements, and so forth, so that what's deployed actually matched the needs of the community. WLCG deployment plan presented a timeline for deployment IPv6, and along with the status across the LHC experiments, and there's a somewhat of a concern about the slow progress at some of the Tier 2 sites in adopting IPv6. We've also seen a presentation on KK to report persistent cyber attacks and the continuous need for cyber education, and the social engineering challenge. And I think Livio presented this with the little USB that's been lying around, and people would normally, not necessarily HEPICS, but outside would actually use it to stick it to them on their own computers. And there was a presentation on the CERN Security Operations Center as well about detection, containment, and remediation of security threats. So moving to basic IT services, there was a presentation on Monday by Jerome on the migration from Puppet 3 to 4, mostly smooth, of a few hiccups. And then we also ended up Monday with a presentation by Owen on SALT as an alternative to some of the other management solutions. Centralizing Elasticsearch at CERN. So challenges bigger than expected, a variety of user cases and requirements, but the work is ongoing. The evolution of monitoring CNAF, cloud-oriented in order to match the distributed nature of the resources across the several sites in Italy, provide a common infrastructure but allow for some customization in each site, and future integration with ELK being one of the goals. Some other news from the basic IT services, consolidation and unification of the CERN IT monitoring. It turns out that the data sources are very diverse. It's hard to get them all together. So they've taken a different approach in terms of moving to the easier areas first before looking into consolidating data sources. And then we saw a presentation by Kerry on the LBL data collection and comprehensive monitoring, 106 gigabytes and 1.2 billion documents a day. It's certainly a lot of data to keep for historical purposes. And then we had a presentation by one of the private organization here in Hungary about SysLogNG. So, storage and file systems. CERN presented a strategic outlook for the future, building a flexible infrastructure solution at the exabyte scale, centered on EOS and CTA, replacement of Castor, by end of 2018 or sometime in 2019. And the possibility that CTA will also be available outside CERN with a little effort. And you saw the different presentations. There was a CERN box, the BNL box, and also IHAP box, which I did not mention here, how that's growing as a way to provide, again, access to replace some of the functionalities that you had in terms of being able to write into AFS, which is being phased out. And then there was a very nice presentation by Seagate on the current storage technology. I noticed with some delight that there was a lot of questions, and then especially after the presentation, there was a lot of discussions with the Seagate representative. It was very interesting because I got a message this morning from the Seagate representative that came here to HEPEX. The message was sent to me by mistake. It was meant to be sent to his own management. So in it, I think he's advocating a continued presence by Seagate at HEPEX. So it's nice to know this through back channels, you know. So I got a message, and then 5 minutes later, he said, sorry, Tony, I meant this to send it to my boss, but I forgot. I copied you on this, and I said, no harm. Computing and batch services, so there was an interesting presentation by Cosmo Hub about it's a project created to share data among the different cosmology projects. And there's a migration from PostgreSQL because of the inability to scale up to Apache Hadoop and Hive, and to improve their response time. We also had a presentation on Hammer Cloud, and the fact that there's a test bed for essential test and automation tools, and that there is on the order of about 180,000 jobs on a daily basis. Notice that there were also two presentations on KNL. At BNL, we've not only make it available, the primary purpose is to make it available to the HPC community, but we've been benchmarking Atlas jobs on this system. So it turns out that with a little effort and a little bit of optimization that you can indeed get some of these, at least the kit validation from Atlas, to run on KNL at a rate where the, if I understand correctly, that the HAP spec per dollar is actually competitive with the traditional x86 processors. So more news perhaps at KEK. JLab also has had a cluster, ran into similar problems as BNL, but they are currently in production as well. So we had a report from Domenico on the benchmarking working group. And the fact that they have very candidates for the eventual replacement for HSO6, but yet we do not have any further deadlines or clarity on when that's going to happen. But there is a call to start requirements to validate the successor to HSO6, but it must be representative of the actual job mix available or used at the WLCG. There was a presentation by Brian on Singularity, on job isolation traceability within a container as an alternative to DLExec. It's being used at, being tested at various sites. And Brian, if I'm not mistaken, I think I also saw this presentation as well at listed at the Condor Week coming up after this week. So I'll be looking forward to see the reaction there as well. Grids, clouds, and virtualization. So CRIC, the Computer Resources Information Catalog, is the follow-up to AGES, the Atlas Grid Information System presentation by Alessandro De Girolamo. And it integrates resource status and configurations within the experimental framework, but it, unlike AGES, is not Atlas-centric. It's available for the entire WLCG community. So we also, We also had a presentations on an update from CERN on OpenStack and the addition of another 86,000 cores. New components in there, such as Ironic for bare metal, Manila for file sharing, and Magnum for software distribution. So the service is expanding and becoming a lot more elaborate. Ian made a presentation on orchestrating containers, simplifying access to public clouds at RHEL. Tests are underway with the Rio LHC workloads. There was a another discussion from CERN on the integration test between CTA EOS using Docker images and Kubernetes managed clusters. There's tries to improve on past Castor integration testing. We also saw a presentation on distributed computing at IHAP, leveraging external resources to meet the increasing requirements, which seems to be a common theme among many of the HEP sites, and deploying services to integrate all of these resources. And that seemed to have helped to double production from in a matter of 2 years, from 2014 to 2016. So this is, again, something that has been touched on before, that in coming years, growth and resource required by the LHC experiments will exceed the community's ability to provide them. This is made worse by flat budgets and higher data rates from the LHC. So things are combining to be a perfect storm. One of the things that are being done is to find the origins of some of these bottlenecks and inefficiencies and seek alternative resources, such as HPC. We saw an interesting presentation as well from CERN about using some of the storage nodes for computing, and in order to cope and gain back some of these computing that is needed for the LHC. Moving on to the main topic of today, the IT facilities and business continuity. Vigner described their data center infrastructure, talked about the cooling upgrade for better control and regulation, an interesting idea about tying to power consumption for higher efficiency and hopefully lower cooling bills. There was also a presentation by CERN on their data center news about planning for a new data center going forward and a second network hub as well for redundancy for critical network infrastructure equipment. And then the two final presentations, one by Michelle on the ORSAY Data Center Extension, again, as I mentioned earlier, about a proposal for a PU of less than 1.3, and cooling done with a rear door heat exchangers without a crack in the data center. And they estimate it to be ready by in about a year and a half. And then the final presentation by IN2P3 on managing hardware failure almost automatically. This is using one of the APIs from one of their vendors, Dell. Cuts down the time interfacing with the vendor support staff, and this is a common theme where our staff have to talk to what in the United States is called the level one support. And you have to talk to people and explain what the error conditions are, and then after a long time, they will then schedule replacement or the shipment of parts to the data center. So that's something that is an interesting approach. So come to the very end. I'd like to congratulate Balazs and the local organizing committee for a well-run meeting and definitely a very nice dinner cruise. And I'd like to thank the sponsors, Seagate, Supermicro, and Dimension Data. You see there the picture of our that we've taken a couple of days ago. So, you know, again, congratulations to Balazs and the local organizing community. So finally, this is an advertisement for the HEPICS meeting in the fall. It'll be at KEK in Japan, in Tsukuba, Japan, October 16th to the 20th. If I remember correctly, I think this is the first HEPICS meeting in Asia since 2012 that was held in Beijing, and is also the first HEPICS meeting hosted by KEK. So very glad to be able to work that out and to be able to go to Japan, who has been a longtime participant here at HEPICS, but it will be the first time that it's hosting the HEPICS meeting. That meeting will be, as you see on the slides, will be co-located with the HAPIC's, the HBSS Users Forum, HUF, and the LHCOPN LHC 1 meeting. You see the local organizers there. They are sitting in the back there, Takashi Sasaki and Tomoaki Nakamura. We'll be making these informations located on, we're already updating our website to reflect that information, and there will be more information coming in several days, including information about lodging, about the program, and about local organizational matters. So that was it. I thank you for coming. It's for some of us, I know it was a long trip, and I wish you a very good weekend and a safe trip home. Thank you, and see you in Japan.